Welcome to Upper Room Studios. This is the Road Home Podcast.
We're here again.
Welcome back.
Again.
On the road again.
Good morning.
Good evening.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Good night.
Happy New Year.
Whenever you're watching this.
Yeah. We are somewhere in the future. And we look much better than we look right now. We do. Okay.
Not as old as we once was, but older than we were.
That's right.
I don't know. Not as young as I once was, but older than I was then.
Yeah. Confusion. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So we need the peace of God this morning. This is a day that the Lord has made. And every day God makes, we are to do something to glorify Him. And today we're just going to talk about what I think glorifies God more than anything, His own glory. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of want to delve into this subject a little bit, and we're going to kind of break down, and we'll all get to talking here in a minute, but the glory of God is God's substance. It's the substance of His holiness. It's His presence. Most people in the church world who have become professional in their worship, in their production, they have discounted and basically disannulled the presence of God. Like they can have church without the presence of God.
Yeah.
I can't.
No.
It drives me up the wall. Mm-hmm.
It's so boring when God's not there.
It's useless.
Yeah.
If God ain't showing up in your praises, you're not praising Him.
No. Mm-hmm.
So there's a scripture we quote all the time, and if somebody can find me the coordinates, that God does inhabit the praises of His people. It's where He chooses to abide, to live. Mm-hmm. And what we do most of the time is we sing songs, or we say things like praise God, mm-hmm, or hallelujah. Or, you know, we do these Christian things, or these bodily exercises.
It's a habit.
Just a habit, yeah. And just a thing we do.
Empty words.
Yeah.
For a lot of people.
So like it was spoken to, you know, in Isaiah, like, this people, they honor me with their lips, mm-hmm, but their heart is far from me.
Yes.
And so, because they do this, they really don't think that there's any such thing as the tangible presence of God. And so what we're going to try and kind of talk through, and we'll kind of just dissect and interject and maybe debate a little bit on the glory of God, because this is the essence of your Christian walk. Without the presence of God, there is no reason for living in this world.
Mm-hmm. We've got a live audience today.
Yeah, an audience of... How old is he?
Seven months.
7 months old. So he's, you know, he's got a few words to say. He's starting to speak.
He loves to praise.
Yeah. Hey, he loves it when the music gets going.
It's Psalm 22 and 3.
Psalm 22 and 3.
But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel.
Yeah. So he lives inside of what we give him. He decides to make his habitation, his home, in there. And you've heard it said, you know, you can build a house, but it's not a home. Mm-hmm. It takes, you know, it takes an atmosphere.
Yeah.
When you have a house,
it's home is where the heart is. Home,
yeah.
Hallmark card. Yeah.
And who's it's usually that picture that hangs above the toilet
next to the seashells. Yeah. But there
one
is a
greater than the other.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a purpose to the presence of God. It's written in His word that in His presence is fullness of joy. Mm-hmm. Okay? And if the joy of the Lord is our strength, mm-hmm, then therefore, I love doing this thing. I rightly divide the word. Okay? So what you can do is you take from a scripture, say like that, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Mm-hmm. That's true. Okay. In His presence is fullness of joy.
Yeah.
And it is with joy that we draw waters from the wells of salvation. Mm-hmm. So the wells of salvation are those benefits of daily salvation that we receive from God.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't have his presence where fullness of joy is, if I'm not in his presence, then therefore I'm not strong. Because if I'm not in his presence, I'm not strong. Because in his presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I can't even begin to draw off of my relationship without that presence. Mm-hmm. And so it is a absolute must that we get in the presence of God. But what is this? What is this presence of God? We call it the glory. And we throw that statement around a lot, but it is the true substance of God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just, that's just it.
Yeah.
And one of the main kind of stories of the presence of God in this way, the glory, let me get scooted in here where I can see everything. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now, everybody knows 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's on every billboard. I saw it all over the place, especially during 2020. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways," humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, because God's people's got wicked ways too.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, he says, "Then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land." And so that's good. But if you don't read from verse 1 down to 14, you're going to be very confused about what this whole thing was about. I'm going to read this just as it is written in the Word of God. Here it says, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1, "Now when Solomon," this was the king, David's son, remember, "Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house." So it's something that is substantial, that it, when it comes into a room, you can tell the difference.
Yeah. There's an atmosphere change.
It's a shift.
Yeah.
Now, I know that's that goes out there for some people. They don't like words like shift or atmosphere or something like that. This is not something you get from a fog machine or somebody playing some pretty ominous music.
Mm.
This is a present shift. Okay? So then in verse 3 it says, "And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement. They bit the dust and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Now, when I'm saying this, and if you're not picking up on this at home, when I'm reading this and what we know and what this means, I am tangibly feeling the presence of God.
Yeah, I feel him right now.
I mean, he's here.
Yeah, he's here.
Why? Because he inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits the praises of Israel. His people are who he inhabits. But it is that mindset change. We're not sitting here trying to draw attention to ourselves.
Right.
We're here on a mission. We have a purpose. We're ministering to the body of Christ right now and everyone that we're here. So we know the necessity of the presence of God. And so this was a major moment in history here when Solomon was in the temple and they made the sacrifices and the glory of the Lord filled the temple so much that the priests could not do what they were supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
Imagine, if you will, going to the largest church you know in town, okay, this Sunday morning. And when you get to the building, you open the door or someone greets you at the door. And as you walk into the sanctuary and you go past everybody that's in there and you step into the sanctuary, instead of seeing everybody talking about what they've been doing this week or little Johnny's in football now or, you know, how's classes going? Or I saw you working down here. Or,
yeah.
How's the new job?
Did you hear who died?
Did you hear who died? Yeah. So-and-so is in the hospital. Instead of focusing on all those things, everybody, instead of that, because of the weighty presence of God. Mm-hmm. In the Hebrew, it's called the kabod.
Yeah.
It means weighty. Mm-hmm. So it's a weight to it. It's a weight. It's his substance of his presence. Mm-hmm. It's his glory. If you walked in and you saw all your brothers and sisters in Christ on their face saying, "The Lord, He is good, and His mercy endureth forever." If you experienced that and you got up and you're waiting for your pastor to get up and say something, he ain't saying that. Mm-hmm. He's down on his face too, yeah, saying, "The Lord, yeah, He is good, and His mercy endureth forever." And as we say that, there's a tangible presence to that.
Yeah.
Imagine, if you will. Okay? That is what we're chasing. Okay? That's what we're chasing. Mm-hmm. We want that.
Yeah.
We want that. Not because we think we're hyper spiritual, because life is not worth living without the presence of God.
That's right. Right.
Not that we're going to give up if we don't feel something, mm-hmm, but just the fact, if He's not there, I will not go. Moses even said that. He said, "If your presence don't go, I ain't going."
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he was saying. I want this presence in my life. I want this to be what I do. And so much more that goes with that. But it goes on to say, it said, the fire came down, the glory of the Lord was upon the house. They bowed themselves, their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good, and His mercy endureth forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice, 20,000 and 2,000 oxen. My goodness. Because he said, there's something special about this. This is not just another sacrifice. This is a sacrifice of praise. Okay, and the priests waited on their offices, and the Levites also with their instruments of music of the Lord with David, which David the king had made to praise the Lord because His mercy endured forever. Mm-hmm. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Solomon, it says, moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for therefore the house of the Lord. He said, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings. It was so much. And the meat offerings and the fat. And at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him. So the picture, what it's drawn, I don't want to draw too much out of that, but the picture it's drawn here is it was a normal praise,
mm-hmm,
but it was taken to a different level.
Yeah.
This was something that was done ritually,
yeah,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but instead of it just being a ritual, it got down in the heart of the people,
mm-hmm,
and they started to, with their heart,
intentionally,
yeah, and it brought something.
Yeah,
you know, we don't got to do as much work as they did in the Bible,
no,
in the Old Testament,
no,
to bring in the presence of the Lord. We don't have to do, we don't have to bring livestock into the sanctuary. It's just sacrificing yourself, you know what I'm saying? Getting rid of that flesh, that
unbelief.
You know, that's what a lot of times we walk in with weight. You know, we walk in with weight, and you almost, the presence of the Lord can be there, but if you're not prepared to go into there, you might miss it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Even if the presence of the Lord is there, you have to prepare yourself, you know, just like they prepared these animals for a sacrifice. You've got to prepare yourself when you come into the temple, you know, into the church.
Clear your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Cleanse your mind.
Yeah.
If you you've got to want to receive the glory.
Yeah.
And it's not that hard at all.
No.
It is simply getting down before God. Okay. I don't know what's wrong with people. Yeah, there might be a few things wrong with people. I know what's wrong with people, though, that they won't repent.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll admit I've done wrong. Hey, you got to get down and you got to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was a wrong thought I had. That was a wrong idea I had.
Yeah,
that was a wrong feeling I harbored. Mm-hmm. That was a wrong grudge I held. That was a wrong thing I did.
Yeah,
fill in the blank between you and God. Get down on your knees. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. No, instead, what we're going to do is we're going to just act like we're the stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to show everybody how I can praise God. Well, He inhabits praises, not pride.
Right. Yeah.
Some people praise their praise.
Mm.
So, like, a lot of people are making sets, you know, for the
worship sets. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, wasn't that praise good today?
Oh, it's some of the best praise. But, yeah.
Like that. Then you just lost all that you did.
Mm-hmm. Whoop.
She just lost all she did.
I'm trying to fix this microphone. Some people just lose it by saying, oh, that was good, praise today. You know,
yeah.
Instead of saying, oh, didn't God come down?
That, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's been a focus for us, and it's been a growing that we've had to learn on things. But if you come to our church, I'm going to tell you what our focus is not on. It's not about our talent. It's not about what we do.
Right.
We are chasing the presence of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Literally.
Whatever we have to do to usher it in.
And if something's not working, we stop it.
And it's not because we are, oh, we're so humble.
Yeah.
It's because we don't even have, you know, we're just.
We need that. Yeah. Like, we're desperate.
Nothing works unless we have the presence of God.
Yeah.
We try to. We try to get, like, worship going, and it's like, if it's just us, it's not working. We're like, this is awkward. This is not working.
We've been there before.
Yeah.
And it's not a, it's a frustrating place to be in.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you almost feel like you're pretending or playing, you know.
But one moment of humility,
where
you turn your heart toward God and say, Father, you know what? Everything that's in me that's not supposed to be, that doesn't glorify you.
Yep.
You know, if I'm trying to do everything in my flesh and I'm trying to impress people with my praise, or I'm trying to, I'm not loosing my praise because I'm afraid of what others might think of me.
Yeah.
That's also a hurdle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Intimidation.
Intimidation is a struggle.
I think all of us introverts deal with that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Not wanting to praise and worship too loud, worrying about what our neighbor standing next to us is going to think.
Right.
It's nobody has to worry about you.
Right, yeah, I'm upstairs.
Jed's in his own booth. He don't care. Kind of wish I had that. Here's where I find myself. I want to loose my praise to a point where it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I get so, I'm so careful not to, I do not want attention drawn to me.
Yeah.
So if you're in a room full of praisers, it's easy to be a radical praiser. Yeah. If you're in a room full of people who may not be as comfortable with, you know, demonstrative of praise, you're going to stick out. And so because of that, we hold back, right?
Yeah.
Because then you're thinking that it's going to draw attention to yourself, which is what you're not trying to do.
Right.
We're trying to give attention to
We're trying God. To draw people to attention to God. Yeah.
And trying to get God's attention.
Yeah. Right. That's another thing. Like, forget everybody else for a minute.
Yeah.
When we're trying to get God's attention.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you read about Solomon here, his main thing was he's in the temple. He is trying to get God to come down. We're giving sacrifices. We're killing goats and rams and turtle doves and bulls and oxen and all this good stuff. We're trying to get God's attention. We're getting the fattest stuff. Bring me the cows that's got the highest fat content. That's what he's doing. And that's what it says here. The altar could not hold it. It had so much fat on it.
Yeah.
And if you know anything, if you've done any grilling, which
it's
I have
more
done,
than 20%, right?
Yeah.
20%.
If you do a lot of that and like if there's too much fat on, that's why you have to trim the fat off of like if you get a whole rib, you have to trim the fat off of it because you'll start a grease fire.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happened here. It was too much for the altar.
I've never thought about that.
Oh, yeah. That's the way it reads there. So,
I really never thought about it.
That is what crazy praise does.
Yeah.
The fat content.
Yeah.
So, what I'm saying.
So you're saying we need to start a grease fire.
Yeah.
We need to start a Holy Ghost grease fire over here. Yeah. Or also to be interpreted, a Jeopardy answer number two would have been sufficient. Would be y'all need to burn some fat off.
Yeah.
Which we'd all agree there. So. The presence of God is that important.
Are you saying that larger people are better worshipers?
Hey, sometimes.
bodily exercise problem.
Yeah. I won't mention that lady they used to say was going to sing at the end of church. We won't mention her. God bless her. Okay, we're getting carnal for a second. But
let's get back on track.
The presence of God is so important. We do not want to draw attention to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes I feel like, you know, if I had a curtain I could just put in front of me, like I could have a shield, I would do what I could do by myself. Like I would be able to open myself up. But because we become self-conscious, which is a hang-up.
Yeah.
And we need to be like David and just dance.
Yeah.
Dance before
just
the Lord.
Just loose it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we need to really be God conscious where we can do that.
And less people conscious.
Exactly. And so, like, if you're a person like that struggles with, like, I don't feel like I can even, some people's like, this is like a breakthrough. You know, if they're, they're doing two hands, it's like, man, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not even about what you do. It's your posture of your heart.
Yeah.
Which you could sit down in a quiet room by yourself and not do nothing but be silent in his presence and draw him in by your the posture of your heart.
Yes.
Yes.
So, like, I just, if we can get everybody to realize that how important, like, if he inhabits that praise, he comes in as a result of your action.
Yeah.
So if I sing unto him a new song unto the Lord, even praise unto my God, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise will ever be in my mouth. I'm opening up myself. He comes and says, hey, there's a praise floating around here somewhere. I lose my praise in the atmosphere. Here it comes. And he catches it. And he says, okay, this is enough.
Yeah.
That I'm going to build my house in here.
Mm-hmm. Send down his glory.
And he begins to let it fall. Yeah. That is then where the atmosphere really begins to change.
Yeah.
And then everybody begins to receive from that.
Mm-hmm. So you know what I feel like, and this is how I picture the glory of God in my mind, because it's how it feels to me, but it's like a cloaking, like you when you're making a bed and you take that blanket.
Yeah.
And it kind of makes a wind off of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're covered. That's what the glory of God feels like coming down to me. Because you take it and you flap it, and then you feel the wind, and then you're covered and it's comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the presence of God feels like coming down.
Amen. Because it lays over top of you.
Yeah. You feel it, and then it just lays, and it's...
covers everything.
Arresting and
covering. And you're like, covering. Oh. It's also, it's the strangest thing. It's therapeutic.
Mm-hmm.
You feel known.
Yeah.
You feel known. Your innermost being, it feels known in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
When you are in the presence of God, when the glory begins to fall.
Yeah.
You feel completely known by God when he sees everything and he says, hey, you know, I know you.
Yeah.
I love you. I've got you.
Mm-hmm.
And he begins to minister to you personally.
Yeah.
Which I find is awesome.
And it's that comforter.
Yeah.
He's the comforter.
That's what he said when I said, oh, I'm going to send another comforter in my name. He's going to come and he's going to do the work in you.
Yeah.
But, okay, let's go back here. The church as a whole, and I'm not talking about every church. I'm talking about a lot of churches. Because if you looked at the landscape of the church today, when we were bringing in everything that doesn't glorify God, we won't even mention some things like, I don't know.
We just won't mention
it. We just won't mention it. But you know the controversy that's out there right now. That does not bring in the presence of God.
No.
That brings in a different presence.
Mm-hmm.
So if we put our eyes on the secular or on the carnal or the perverted, and we bring that into a place where we are trying to capture the heart of God, and we're not, because we're trying to capture some other kind of spirit.
Yeah.
What is that doing?
Just in entertainment.
Spirit? Yeah. And you're entertaining.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Devils.
Right. Yep. You're entertaining the wrong thing.
And it's not, it ministers a whole different atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, there's a difference between you, okay, you're singing a song and it's just, you know, you're really not, you're just casually, you know, just singing a song. There's a difference between being neutral about something and then you're on the opposite end. Like, I'm trying to entertain a different spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing it intentionally, whether you are saying, I want to be filled with the devil. You know, nobody's going around saying that. If you are, you're probably demented.
Yeah.
But the truth is, people want to experience something supernatural.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, this is just me, I feel like, I'm convinced, my opinion, that people are want to experience the supernatural so much that they're willing to open themselves up to things that people say are real.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Because I see so much more teaching on the demonic than the supernatural aspects of God Almighty.
Yeah,
I hear so many more glorifications of demonic power, demon power, than I do the power of God's Spirit that we know to be real. But he doesn't get the glory. And glory is attention. And glory is magnification. And glory is exaltation. And glory is praise. And glory is worship. And glory is whatever you give him. And then he inhabits it. And it's an exchange for your time, your attention, your exaltation, your praise, your worship. Whatever that may be for you, whether it's your words, your thoughts. And it becomes an idol thing when we give that to something else. And we've all been guilty of giving it to something else. Maybe others have been to an extreme of something, you know, that shouldn't be there for sure. But we've all been guilty of maybe giving rent to something up here that hinders us from giving that glory to God.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing about glory. Glory fills in space.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Here's what it said. Okay? It said that the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. No room for nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
It is a literal substance of God. So,
I was looking up what the Hebrew word is for glory, the
kabod, yeah,
yeah, and it says that it's you know glory, honor, respect, but also great weight.
Yeah.
So like you were talking about a blanket sitting down you on weight.
Yeah.
We talk about that the glory was so strong that the priests couldn't do things in the temple. It's because that weight came in. Once that pressure come down, nothing else could stay.
Yeah.
You know, that glory sat down.
Yeah.
And every demonic, supernatural, in the supernatural realm, things unknown, when the glory sits down on the temple,
yeah,
it pushes it down and it can't stand.
And it purges.
So principalities and powers are automatically demoted.
Hey, every high thing
comes down.
Must come down.
Because his presence pushes it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a gravity.
Exactly. Yeah. It's the way the spirit realm works. All things are under his feet, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, things in the earth, things under earth, things visible, things invisible. Everything is under his presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He said that heaven is his throne room, and the earth is his footstool. And so he goes on to say, what house will you build me? We'll build him a house. We'll build him a habitation. Where's he looking for? He's looking for our praise.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking for our praise. So we're going to continue this conversation next week as well. But for this thought, I just want you to get this. Praise, worship, exaltation, attention, total attention on God. Total attention on God. Not attention on a speaker, not attention on your favorite worship leader, not attention on your favorite worship song, not attention on
talent,
ability, not attention on, ooh, that was a clinker. You know, man, that was off note. Mm-hmm. Not attention on that.
It's not a clinker.
Attention.
What are these words?
I mean, it's like you come into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and with your heart is turned with a posture toward humility. Lord, you know all things.
Yeah.
I just come to worship you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about him. And we make that declaration. It's all about him, not about us. It's all about him. Then he says, hey, I'm going to come inhabit that. And then you'll be fully known. You'll be known by God. And you'll be experienced. Yeah. And the best part about it is you're not just doing it by yourself. When it's corporately, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, are we all experiencing the same thing together?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel what I feel? Yeah.
It makes it so much easier when everyone is on the same page with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Unity.
Yeah.
One mind, one accord.
Exactly. So praise brings this. He inhabits praises. It's like the water droplets in the air before a thunderstorm.
Mm-hmm.
They make a cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He draws that from the ground. You know, that's how it, like, that's the rain cycle. That's the way it works. Through humidity, you know, it pulls it up out of the water on the ground. That's the way our praise is. He pulls it up from us. Then he collects it up in his cloud. And that's where his glory resides. Then he decides to just let it rain.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so, I mean, a lot of people pick apart worship songs and they don't understand what they mean. But if you're just singing them like, okay, like you would sing your top five karaoke songs, like, okay, if you're just singing like that, they're not much. I'm just going to tell you.
Yeah.
But if you are singing Let It Rain, for instance.
Yeah.
Or you know.
Fill me up.
Fill me up.
Till I overflow.
Uh-huh.
You know what that means.
Yeah.
You provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. Things like that. What's another crazy, like you would make no sense?
Let incense arise.
Day and night.
Yeah.
Night and day. Let incense arise. Like, somebody comes in here like, what in the world?
Did you say glory come down?
Let your glory come down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, let the fire fall. Let the wind blow.
Yeah.
Let your glory come down.
Yeah.
There's, I mean, it makes no sense to the world, but
let the lion roar.
Let the lion roar.
Let the lion roar.
Yeah, that's that might be high school, like, you know, like you got
different
kindergarten phases. And then on the next thing you got like prophetic worship. That's a whole different stage. You get there somewhere else. The thing is, it doesn't make sense. But as we've always said, and we remain to be consistent on this, what does not make sense
makes
kingdom. Mm-hmm. And so we will continue this conversation next week, but you better be ready because we're going a little deep. So with that being said, we'll see y'all further down the road.
Thanks for tuning in. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. If you like to watch us, you can find us on The Road Home on YouTube. Make sure to like, subscribe, and hit the notification bell. You can check us out on Instagram at @theroadhome_podcast. If you'd like to email us, you can email us at theroadhomepodcast@yahoo.com. Thank you.